Great. So chapter 16, Matthew, verse 13 to 28. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good would it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the word of the Lord. Mark, would you mind just bringing me the lapel mic, please? I'm going to use that for this bit of the beginning. Before we think about this passage, I've got a game to do. I've got a game for anyone who wants to potentially win some chocolate. Who wants to potentially win some chocolate? Okay. We've got a few. Okay. Great. Okay. You want to come up? Yeah. You want to win some chocolate? Okay. Isabel, did you? Go on then. Come on. Yeah. And Lex, come on then. Okay. We've got three volunteers. Are you willing to follow me to win chocolate? That's the question. Are you willing to follow me to win chocolate? What I'm going to do is put my hand into my box and I'm going to grab a gold coin. But to grab the gold coin, you're going to have to put your hand into something really disgusting. Do you still want to follow me? How much do you like chocolate? And that's a really big amount. This person likes chocolate. Okay, great. So I'm going to, let me grab the towel and stuff. So we've got a big bag of gold coins. Okay, so all you need to do is follow what I do, okay? Okay? Yeah? Great. So, there's one gold coin. There's another gold coin. There's another gold coin. That was cold. Another gold coin. Okay, who wants to go first? I got four coins. All you need to do is get two. Alex, you're closest to me. Come on in. Put your hand in. Yeah. Pull your sleeve up, yep. Oh, well done. There's one. Yes, clap everyone. Okay, ready? Okay, I'm going to pick another one. Okay.
Have that one as well. Yep, come.
You have to put your hand in. You can't look at where the coin is. Oh, well done. Okay. You want to just grab that towel?
Actually, if I give this towel to Steve. Oh, there you go.
Okay, who's next?
Okay, come then. Go put your hand in.
Got one.
There's one. Oh, nice. Well done.
Okay, you can have a really gross song. Go on.
I don't.
Oh, easy. You know, you can do three. Lex only did two, but you can do three. There you go. Oh, easy peasy. Okay, you'll go. Come. Okay.
Ready?
Oh, well done. We'll do one more.
You know what? Oh, look at that. Mix it up. There you go.
Ooh. Oh, well done. Okay.
Let me give you...
You all win some chocolates.
Here you go. I'll just put... You can grab some.
Grab a few each. Not a bite for it. Isabella.
Give me some. Thanks. Here you go.
And I'll give you some more afterwards as well. If you come back to me, okay?
Yeah.
Great, you can sit down now. Thank you so much for my volunteers. Great. I'll stay with this, it's great. What we're thinking about today is, what's it like to follow Jesus? They were willing to follow me in my... maybe a bit of suffering, not much suffering, but a little bit, to gain something in the end. It wasn't beneficial for them to get their hands dirty just for the sake of it, but for the end goal, it was worth it. Let me pray as we think about this passage today. Father God, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you that it is powerful. It is living, as we sung. But it is forevermore. We ask that we would really understand it now, and that you would change us and make us delight in you. Amen. Great. So what's it like to follow Jesus, to be part of Jesus's church? We have fun times together. We have Sundays and we have silly games like this. Some of us go to prayer meetings or growth groups. We sometimes have lunches on a Sunday. We've had two the last 2 weeks. It's been really nice, actually. We have youth camps for the youth. We have Sunday. They're all good things. They really are great. Praise God for them. However, is that what it is being a Christian? Is that what makes us a Christian? That we get all these nice things? Maybe in the end. But this passage today is very clear. But those who want to follow Christ should be willing to suffer. So we're going to have three points today. The king, so Jesus, builds his church. Now the king must suffer and die. And the king is worth suffering for. So our first point, the king builds his church. The king builds his church. So Jesus, he's with his disciples. And he asks them, in our first verse today, verse 13, who do people say the Son of Man is? So Jesus, he refers to himself as an Old Testament name, one that was used in the Old Testament book called Daniel. Many of you might remember when we went through Daniel, but that was a name for the promised king who would be given all authority. Jesus is speaking about himself, and lots of people say different things. The disciples replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So lots of people are saying Jesus is different people. Lots of people think Jesus is lots of different kind of important prophets from the past. They are important prophets, but obviously people are not really sure. There's lots of names they're calling him. Prophets were people who spoke about the promised king. But Jesus asks his disciples, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? The people around have lots of different answers. They obviously don't know. So Jesus asks his disciples, do you know? And Simon Peter answered, verse 16, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The Messiah, so another name, was the long-promised king of the Old Testament, who all the prophets were looking forward to. So Jesus can't be one of the prophets looking forward to the Messiah because he is that promised king. Jesus is the one who they've been waiting for. He is the long-promised king. And this long-promised king will build his church. So we're going to read from verse 17 again. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Jesus will build his church. It will start first with Peter, and he's the rock on which it's going to start, likely because Peter is actually the first major person to preach to lots of people in Acts. And we'll actually read in Acts in Sunday school, so some of the children will know about that. Please, if you've got a child in Sunday school, ask them about it. It'd be great if they could tell you what we're doing. Jesus, the Messiah, the promised king, the king who has now arrived, will build his church. And the gates of Hades will not overtake it. Jesus, the king, he won't let anything stop the church. Hades is a place of death, the place where the wicked go. Earlier on in Matthew, if you read earlier on in Matthew, he talks about wicked cities that will go to Hades. That's the place where people who reject God go. Jesus is saying the place of wickedness will not have anything to do with the church. They won't get through the gates. We've got a picture on the screen of enemies at some gates. And what the language is basically just saying is that the gate that is stopping people from getting through, so the gates of Hades, there was no chance that they were open onto the church. Those who are part of Jesus' church have no reason to fear death, so to fear Hades, the place of death. Because as Christians, we follow the Messiah, the one who defeats death, the king who defeats death. Now, let me clarify, you are not part of Jesus's church by coming to this building on Sunday. This building is not part of Jesus's church. It's just a building. Jesus's church are the followers of Jesus gathered. It isn't any old people together. It isn't any people together in this building. You're only part of Jesus's church if you follow Jesus. Love him, listen to him, live in the way he expects. And we'll see what it means to live as a follower of Jesus later on in this passage. So secondly, this king who has come, what must he do? He must suffer and die. We learn now that the Messiah, this long promised king, who we just found out was Jesus, he must suffer and die. Now, when people if they do certain things, if you're a footballer, your role is to score a goal or to stop people from scoring a goal. Maybe your role is to listen to your manager. Maybe it's to win titles. If you're a footballer, you have a certain job, right? We're going to have some things on the screen now. And maybe you can tell me what jobs they do. Here's my first one, the first picture. Can anyone tell me what this sort of person would do? What job would they do? I can't hear it. Law enforcement, great. What do law enforcement do? They police. What is two policemen? What is that? Catch criminals, great. Yeah. Anything else? Great. Okay, so next one. What would this person do? They're a teacher. What does a teacher do? Teaches people. That's right. It might teach you your ABCs. If you're, I don't know, in year three, you might be learning certain multiples of, I don't know, up to 10 or whatever. I don't know. But great. What next one? What would this person do? A doctor. What does a doctor do? Heals people. Great. Yeah, looks after people. We might need a doctor if we're sick. Great. We can take that down now. So we know by certain roles what they're called. If I say it's called a doctor, you know what they do. If it's called a policeman, you know what they do. If it's called a fire person, you know what they do. If it's called a teacher, you know what they do. As the Messiah, if you read the Old Testament properly, as we see Peter doesn't, because he doesn't understand, as the Messiah, Jesus has certain things he must do. And in the Old Testament, it was very clear that he must suffer and die. And that's why Jesus says from verse 21, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised. The Messiah must suffer. He must die. The king who is going to build his church, which nobody will stop, even death, even Hades, will build it on the back of his suffering and his death. That king, that Messiah, who's going to build his church, is going to die. Peter can't believe it. He's just been told he will be starting Jesus' church. And now he's told the guy he probably expected to do everything is going to die. So Peter, verse 22, takes him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. It is quite shocking. The person he spent his whole, all the time with the last few years has just said, I'm going to die. But Jesus turns around to Peter, verse 23, and says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. These are human concerns because Peter doesn't understand what King Jesus, the Messiah, must do. In the Old Testament, it was clear that the long-awaited for Messiah had to die. He had to understand that. He doesn't understand that the promised King, Jesus, must die to start his church. He must die so that death cannot defeat the church. Hades is held back. That gate is not opened because of what the Messiah does. He calls Peter Satan because he's saying same things that the devil would say. The devil obviously doesn't want Jesus, the Messiah, to do what the Messiah should do. He doesn't want him to die and rise again because he knows if Jesus dies and rises, that Jesus wins. He proves that he is the king. He really is the promised king if he does what the Messiah is supposed to do. If Peter was thinking about God things, he would know what the Messiah must do. Like the teacher has certain roles, responsibilities, like the doctor has certain jobs to do, like the police officer has responsibilities, the Messiah, the promised king, has a job too. The man we follow, Jesus, was someone who had to suffer and die. That was how he was to make it so that no one could hurt his church in the long run. And when I say long run, I mean through death. So the king builds his church. The king must suffer and die. The king is pretty great, but what about us? The king, he is worth suffering for. And that's the third point. The king is worth suffering for. Jesus, after saying what he must do, suffer and die, says what he says what his followers must be willing to do afterwards. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus says, if you want to follow him, to be his disciples, so a follower of Jesus, he says, you need to deny yourself and pick up your cross. Okay, so I have to deny myself and pick up my cross. Well, actually, you know, I do have a cross. And I'm picking it up. Pick up that enough. All you need to do is get a cross and pick it up. Now, of course, that's ridiculous. That's not what the passage is saying. It's not saying hold a cross. It's not saying wear a cross around your neck and hold it tightly. It doesn't literally mean that, of course. The cross was a sign of shame and death and pain. Romans killed people on a cross. It was horrible, painful, shameful. It was the worst thing that could happen to you, really. And we know that in the end, Jesus died on a cross. If you read to the end of Matthew, you can find that out. What Jesus is saying is that we must deny ourselves to say no to things we want that Jesus wouldn't want us to do and be willing to suffer, to take up a cross, go to the place of suffering, pick up the cross means pick up suffering, pick up pain, pick up hurt that comes with following Jesus. Jesus goes to say, verse 25, wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Jesus is saying that if you follow him, there will be some time that will be hard because you're a Christian. You may even lose your life. It doesn't really happen today in the UK, but we know this does happen around the world. We know that many of his disciples end up dying. Peter likely died on a cross. And verse 26 says, what good would it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each. Jesus is saying that following him will be hard. Sometimes it may be really hard, but it will be worth it. King Jesus will return with the glory of God, and he will reward those that followed him. Those who isn't easy picking up your cross, denying yourself, but oh, how worth it will be. When Jesus returns on the clouds of with the glory of all the angels around him. And he says, well done. It will be worth it. Why, if you have an opportunity to study or to keep friends at school by denying Jesus, is it worth giving up your soul? Deny yourself. Don't deny Jesus. We all make mistakes. We won't be perfect. We won't always do what Jesus says. But in our life as a Christian, there will come times when you can choose Jesus or not Jesus. Maybe if friends or family you're with are speaking badly about Jesus, will you stay silent or speak? Maybe in work you won't be allowed to speak about Jesus. Will you stay silent? Maybe you're really struggling with a certain sin at the moment. Or will you go to Jesus and ask for his help and try and put things in place that stop you from doing that? I read about this, I heard about this this Muslim girl in Pakistan, and the way they learn English in some areas is by reading the Bible. And her dad warned her that you're welcome to do that, but just remember that if you become a Christian, we'll kill you. And she became a Christian through reading the Bible, through coming to know Jesus and seeing that he is the true king. And she did go home, and she thought it was the greatest thing that could ever happen, that anyone could know about. And she wanted to tell her dad about it, so she did. And the story is that he went to the kitchen saying, "Stay there, I am going to kill you." Unfortunately, the mum was there. She was outcasted in the end, but her mum stopped the honor killing from happening. Now, I don't think we have a risk of death here in this country, but there will be times when it will be easier to say, "I don't follow Jesus," so you don't receive suffering. Well, Jesus suffered and died for you, and he calls you to follow him. He says following him will bring suffering. It's like, will be different for different people. My illustration at the beginning, grabbed 2 coins, some grabbed 3 coins after I grabbed 4. Sometimes it'll be harder for different people. It will be worth it because he will come. God. Father, we thank you so much that Jesus is the promised king. He's proven that through his death and his resurrection. We thank you that he is reigning. We ask that we would follow in him in his suffering, however bad it may be, to take the cost. We ask that you would help us to fix our eyes on his return, the glorious eternal return that is greater than anything in this life. Please help us, however long we have left on this earth, to keep living, willing to suffer, looking forward for his return. Amen.